Now I see it clearly, I'm living just like you, forming my future from everything I do.
And I have Ray Corona on the line.
Well, hello there.
Hello to you.
I am really awed that you very early morning DJs in Vermont are able to get your car started in this kind of weather. That was the most impressive thing I heard all day.
I think it was something like 9 below, 10 below.
Oh.
But it kicked over like a true Volkswagen wheel.
Well, one thing that I'm on the phone, which I know everybody can tell, so we're not divulging any secrets, but one thing about being a traveling musician is that you get to pick and choose where you travel to at different times of the year. I think some people have probably heard of Utah Phillips, quite a raconteur and folk singer, and his line of advice to anybody starting out on the road was, if you have a spoonful of brains, you know enough to go where it's warm in the wintertime and cool in the summer.
I like that spoonful of brains.
One of those Utah expressions.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, listeners, this is Ray Corona, who is the big guy in the Ray Corona Band. And
yeah, but we've got three powerful women in there, so I have to be careful.
Yeah, tell us about the musicians.
Well, we have Ivis, who plays dulcimer. And I think people probably know about that instrument, but maybe a few don't. It's one of the few indigenous American instruments. It's not the hammered dulcimer, the one with all the strings that you hit with a mallet. Instead, it's a small instrument, looks like almost a tiny guitar. It has four strings usually, and it plays a little bit higher register than the guitar. Very, very nice instrument for pretty songs. She's got wonderful voice and does a lot of the harmonies. There's another woman that does a lot of our harmonies. Her name is Ellen Davidson. She's also a pretty strong, powerful organizer. And in fact, we were marching around on Saturday in Washington. Ellen and I and some other musical friends of ours. Jacque Dupre, who you may know from Castleberry and Dupre.
Oh, right.
We were all out there together, and I'll diverge a little bit from introducing the band, since I know this is a peace-gathering program, and talk about that. One of the exciting things about that is when we want to talk about musical activism, that's the kind of musical activism that anybody can do who wants to. You don't need to have a major label, and you don't need to practice every day. We got together, Ellen and Jacque and about half a dozen other people, and we started marching, and we started singing at the top of our lungs and trying to do songs that people would be familiar with, even if some of them are considered a little bit corny at this point. But the idea is that they're those songs that are part of the treasure trove that we all have, that we all grew up with. It would be songs that have a repeat line, like Down by the Riverside. You know, so we would throw in new lines that would apply to the current situation. And then those lines get repeated over and over. And it was amazing what happened. Various people, if you've been in these demonstrations, it's like a sea of people. And
right.
So new people keep coming by you. And somehow, no matter how fast or slow you're going, the landscape of people changes constantly. So the people that sort of liked the idea of singing would then cling to our little group. So we wound up having this big musical brigade of all these people, and some of them would think of lines to throw in, so then we'd all repeat them and sing out. It was much better than just saying 2, 4, 6, 8, you know, and stuff like that. And we had a great
time.
Who's
the guy we love to hate, right?
Yeah, and we had a great time because we were attracting a lot of attention. We got a good bit of media because people thought this was pretty cool. And the people that were doing it, I think, were energized much more because the music was added, and they felt like they really contributed something important to the march, besides the presence, which is, of course, the main key of it all, to be there. So I got back to introducing the band so nobody gets slighted. We have two other women that kind of have become sort of one or the other most of the time when we play, because one is on the East Coast in New York City, and the other is as far as you can get the other way, except for maybe Hawaii. She's out in Orcas Island off the coast of Washington State. So the one out in Orcas Island is Sharon Abreu, who is also doing a lot of music on her own and has a very strong environmental background and a gorgeous voice, classically trained, and plays the fiddle incredibly. And the other woman, our East Coast person who plays the fiddle and the flute, is Gina Talamsa, and she comes out of the Celtic music background. Uh-huh. And can sing and play Renaissance styles of music. So people bringing all these different things to bear enable us to have a much broader kind of musical perspective. Mm-hmm. Than if we didn't have that. And I guess the most broad of all, in terms of perspective, is Barry Kornhauser. He came up as sort of an ear musician, and he would play with all sorts of people, including some pretty big shot players that came into town. Uh-huh. Just locking into what they would do. They had a very strong background in Latin music, and also was pretty strong on blues and jazz. And he went and got a music degree, and now is able to sit down and off the top of his head, he write out these arrangements for all different kinds of orchestral instruments. So he knows what range they can play in and what'll sound good. So we put all that together, and then I'm thrown into the mix. We got the Ray Corona Band. So that's why some of the things you're playing are very different in style.
Uh-huh, very. An ear musician, I'm guessing that that's someone who doesn't have formal musical training.
Well, you know, I found out something very interesting about that when I first went into the recording studio.
Uh-huh.
We had a guy whose name was, I'm sure he doesn't mind me talking about him, he's out in L.A. now playing music. His name is Kenny Klein,
mm-hmm.
A fabulous fiddler. Kenny can do just about anything on the fiddle. It's his voice. So Barry, who I just talked about, the arranger, asked him to play this part, and they had written it out for him, and Kenny looked at it for about a second and just kind of pushed it aside. I can't read music. Can you play it for me or hum it for me? And I forget if Barry hummed it or played it on a keyboard. It was a very complicated piece of music. But all this guy Kenny had to do was hear it once. And, you know, he played it through flawlessly. And then he played it again, and it was, you know, had all the feeling and power that you wanted. And that's an ear musician.
Huh.
Somebody who, it's how you take the music in. We had another woman in there. I think I won't mention her name because she's now become kind of an ear musician too, and she might not like this anymore.
Huh.
But she came in, and she had this strong classical background, had been a ringer in orchestras, places like, you know, Vienna concerts and things like that. And so she could play extraordinarily well, very difficult pieces. So Barry knew that, so he wrote her an extremely difficult piece to play. And everybody in the studio, including a number of other producers that were around in the background, were just their mouths dropped open because she put the sheet music down on the stand, and instead of crying for mercy, she just sort of played it through. And she was another one. You know, the second time around, you couldn't have asked anybody to play it better. So she was doing it totally from reading that sheet music. And a little later on in the project, we said, hey, you know, we have this intro, and it's a little dull because all they're doing is playing a C chord for four bars, which is just a simple, you know, repetitive kind of sound. Could you just play a couple of notes that match the C chord on your instrument so that, you know, jazz it up a little bit? And she struggled with that for about 10 minutes and then finally said, well, you know, you have to write me something.
Huh.
So it doesn't mean that you're more of a musician. I think it just means that there are different ways that we as human beings process information, and it shouldn't be a surprise because we know that people seem to process information differently, you know, all over the lot.
Right.
And certainly including in the political area.
Which is a perfect segue.
Yeah, I don't know how Rummy processes information, but it's a total horrifying mystery to me.
I don't think he does.